Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I am proud to have back Mark Mann. He was on earlier in June, I think it was, and we had talked about all the things that he had done. He's, besides a guitar player, he's an orchestrator, a keyboard player, and he's working with Danny Elfman, helping him orchestrate the film scores that he does. But he had mentioned something in the last show, and I wanted to get into more detail about his live playing, that he uses a special system that he uses, a guitar system from Roland, the VG system. So it was a perfect time for us to take a look at this and go into more detail of why he, how that came about, how he discovered it, and what he liked about it. So he's going to show us a little bit about it. And also, too, his this group that he's been playing with, Ruby Ate the Fig, they just came out with their live album. And so we're going to play some clips of that and then a special surprise clip, which I'll tell you about later.
Ooh, I love surprises.
Yes. It's the uber secret surprise.
Well, we have to make sure that it's, you know, under the
So anyway, I'm going to open up. Let me play a clip. This is the song I Must Go, and this is Ruby Ate the Fig live. And you can hear this system that he's using. And the guitars, you'll hear he'll play a certain type of thing for like a lead thing, and then he'll go into like a rhythm thing, and he's using a whole different setting. And that's one of the things that the VG system allows him to do, major changes. He can change from acoustic guitar to electric guitar and do all sorts of cool stuff. So we're going to get into that. But let me go ahead and play this. This is from the album, the live album, Ruby Ate the Fig. This is called I Must Go.
Skies are red and the sea is no longer blue, like your eyes when you're in love, and the cities turn to stone and all the people in them too, and the music is not of above. If the only thing I on my heart, and my songs are of my suffering. If the only thing I have is my hand on my heart, and I'm standing in the ruins of my offering, then I must go. earth is parched.
Now that's all live. So the guitar stuff that he's doing, and he changes in the middle of the song to that little chimey kind of, it's not exactly an acoustic, but it's kind of like, reminds me of like a 12 string.
Yeah. Sound. Well, the artist, Sharon, who writes, this is her composition. She also is playing rhythm while she's singing. So there's a little bit of her rhythm in there as well. But one of the reasons that I lean on and love the VG system is the ability to change colors and sort of produce. You get spoiled in the studio. You can make sounds just the way you want, and then you go live and you go, well, you got to compromise. You basically got your clean rhythm sound mm-hmm. and your distorted lead sound or whatever, and nothing else. So this gives you a lot of colors and a lot of variation.
What's really cool about that clip, and I was motioning to him when it was running, is the feedback. But that's not... That's being done in the VG system, because that's not...
Well, actually, here's the thing. If you want to, we'll get into the real... Because this was a process. It wasn't just like you take a VG out of the box and get a VG-compatible guitar, which mm-hmm. you have to have the hex pickup on the guitar. The thing that I found is that most people make the mistake of getting a digital guitar system and trying to plug it into guitar amps.
Mm-hmm.
And guitar amps are designed with certain tonal characteristics to work with a guitar that's plugged into it and tends to boost your mid-range and have a little bit of, you know, with the presence you can turn up, you know, brightness and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
With this, I went through actually trying to find the best way to make it so that all the settings in the VG actually work the best. And the way I found it, and this is over... I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, is a pure keyboard amp that is the flattest mm-hmm. amp you can find, so that then you can actually get these variations in sounds without fighting what a guitar amp, which some of them are great and you want them to have that tonal coloration, but I wanted completely transparent. So I went with Roland keyboard amps. There's the KC-300s, 500s, those mm-hmm. whole series. So I actually use those, and the other major difference, and I'm giving away a big secret now, the other major difference is that these all have balanced outputs. This, mm-hmm. What happened with some of the later VGs, I don't think they kept them, but the VG8 and the VG8 EX, which is what's on the floor in the room,
mm-hmm.
Actually have ringtip sleeve balanced outs. And I did tests when I first got these things using different cables, whether they were just ringtip, or tip sleeve or ring tip sleeve, or balanced, unbalanced, whether you're going into the mic input, whether you're going into a line input. And the best sound was balanced into the mic input of a keyboard amp, the KC series. And that gave me the truest tone of what I heard in headphones out of the mm-hmm. VG coming out into the real world. So I go in stereo always. You get funny looks when you show up with mm-hmm. two cabinets, but... You know, they're just a 12-inch speaker in each one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get a real imaging that you can't get in mono. You get the great motion of the echoes. You get that moving from side to side. You get choruses that really swirl around you. You get mm-hmm. a lot of real coloration. So that was part of the process, was actually making it so that what you can do inside the box can really be represented in the air. Because this box you can pick amplifiers, you can pick which kind of amplifier, you can pick the angle, which kind of microphone is in front of the cone of the speaker, and what angle that SM57 is pointed at the cone of the speaker. I mean, there's so many parameters that you can really, and what I love is finding what you like and storing it.
Yeah, you have presets. But your balanced outputs, are they plus 4 dB?
Uh-huh.
And that didn't overdrive the keyboard amp?
Nope.
That's interesting, because usually a lot of the keyboard amps that I had seen, a lot of the keyboards are
minus 10.
Yeah, they're minus 10.
No, I just, you know, this. I think I was doing this, I got this a little bit before the ELO tour of, it's the Zoom tour, the Zoom album,
mm-hmm.
and working with Jeff Lynne all those years, it was like, here's a man who knows sound so well. He's one of the greatest producers of records ever, and just working with him, you learn so much about sound and how they work together. And we did a lot of work on the Zoom album with very specific sounds. And when we performed it live, I programmed it so that I could switch to a Telecaster, that's the other thing it allows you to do, is have different guitars in your hands. I can go from an acoustic 12-string, hit a button, I'm playing a Telecaster through a Fender Twin with a tremolo on it,
mm-hmm.
in a touch of a button. And that's one of the colors that he uses in some of the songs, is different things. So I was basically letting him focus on performing the songs and really selling the vocals, which he does so well, and covering all the sounds that you heard on the record. And there's a DVD out there. There's a Zoom Tour Live DVD, which is out there. And I believe there might be on YouTube, too. But
now, when you played live with him, did you send a balanced out to the PA system? Did you split it out from there? Or
yeah,
you...
these amps have direct outs.
Oh, okay. So you they went into the DIs. Amps and then you DI'd out from
yeah,
the amp.
Right. And I often play keyboards, too. I mean, on that tour, I played keyboards a lot, too. And on Ruby, I'm doing a lot of sort of textured pads and things that you hear on the album, which you can also hear at ruby8thefig.com. That the there's photos of the band. This is a true world band. I mean, the drummer's from Spain. He lives in Spain, and he tours Europe a lot. We have Sharon, our lead singer, is originally from Israel, and we have Armenian oud players and woodwind players, and you just hear this. It's a truly world band with a really nice.
It's a nice mixture of styles. I can hear all these influences in there, and it's to me, it's got a real prog thing, because that's a lot of prog stuff borrows from everybody and makes it. But it's really cool.
You know, I don't know whether it was. I think I came up with a phrase last time when I was here, or maybe you said it was like. And it got picked up by the press when we were on tour this summer. And it would show up in different manifestations and different publications. It was like the phrase was, if Mahavishnu Orchestra and the Police were wandering through the desert and stopped to have tea with Grace Slick, because everybody who hears this thinks it sounds like White Rabbit and elements like that are influenced. And Sharon is very influenced by Grace Slick, so she was very honored by that. And there's, Police elements, and maybe some of the other clips you'll play.
Well, I can hear the influence of with Grace. She has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Well, let me go ahead and play. Let me play another clip, since we're talking about it right now. Then we'll get into the system. I'm going to play Black Eyes. Anything you want to say about that, a clip from that?
Oh, just that this was a fun one that in the process of rehearsing it and then playing it live, it kind of a little bit of surf vibe showed up there. You'll hear in some of the elements of the guitar parts the a little surf music.
Okay, here's Black Eyes. Great. Yeah, I can hear the surf thing, but that tone of that guitar, what blows me away about it is when you're doing that run, that line, that lead line, it just has that, I call it bloom, where the, like, if you were using a normal amp, like with a, like a surf type guitar, like a Jaguar or something, it's turned up enough normally on a normal amp where you just get a little bit of distortion. It just kind of gives it that clip. Yeah. And you're getting that, and that's all in the box. That's not, he's not cranking up an amp. It's basically in the thing.
Yeah. Well, the surf is helped by our drummer, Danny Montgomery. He switches to the tom-toms there and really gives us that surf kind of beat going on the drum. So it just, you know, kind of like, wow, that sounds good. Let's keep that. But, you know, when I have the two cabinets, they're sort of, you know, to my left and right, and I try to point them at my ears. They're, you know, they're angled up so that mm-hmm. you can actually hear yourself better and not make the stage sound too loud. But I use those very much like I would use any amplifier and lean into them to get feedback. And, you know, that stuff that you said you liked where I was hitting the whammy bar and getting the sustain of the feedback is actual auditory feedback from the guitar yeah. to the speaker.
But, I mean, it's actually... But the distortion's in the box. That's oh, yeah. the thing. It's a different type of you're making the string vibrate by the volume from the speakers, but everything going those speakers are playing everything clean. It's all that distortion that you're using. And in this song too, you'll notice when he goes into that middle section, he hits those power chords. He's just switching that, and it goes right in. And it's like a total different guitar sound.
Yeah. Well, it's.
I mean, you don't think about it, just listening and enjoying the song. But as a guitar player, it's like, you know, if I was trying to do that with a conventional guitar, I'd have to change guitars or change to a different amp or use a pedal setup that would give me that type of distortion. It's pretty effortless.
Well, you asked a little bit before we started the show about what made me decide, and part of it right. was pedal boards just became untenable after a while. They just mm-hmm. you see these guys, and you know, a lot of people still use them, and they use them well, and they use certain things. But you know, it's basically you want a boost distortion pedal, you want a chorus pedal, you want a delay pedal, you want a wah-wah, you want, you know, or different choruses for different things. And there's these boutique pedals, and you can spend, you know, a couple $100 on a pedal and make a pedal board, and then you have to power it and hook the wires up. I take this thing out and I plug it in. That's it. It's like,
and it's not big. It's small. It's small. No. Like it's like a.
It's about the size of a briefcase.
Briefcase.
It's like a laptop computer or something. And I think there was there were a bunch of guys making amazing rigs mm-hmm. for guitar players mm-hmm. in like the 80s and 90s, and they were like refrigerator racks filled with stuff, you know, and they had every. Effect, and then there were rack unit effects and even tied harmonizers and a lot of you know, distortion boxes and you know, and you'd have to, what was there, was that switching system, I'm forgetting who made it, big panel switching system for switching.
Well, there were several that were using, and that was before MIDI, so
yeah.
Cornish, he's British, does Pink Floyd stuff. And then there was, I'm spacing right now. There's several
all
people.
All right, well, I thought you'd
Bradshaw,
remember.
Bob Bradshaw.
That's the one. Because I here. Saw those all the time. And
but
they
Pete
were
Cornish yeah. was the one that the British guys used.
And you could spend, you know, 10, 15 grand just hooking these racks mm-hmm. up and da-da-da. And so... I, you know, my background is a guitar player, but I, you know, went to UCLA and got a master's in music, a bachelor's and master's in music, and I got into synths and I got into computers and I became sort of a computer music expert. So my world of utilizing computers was very much of what I was doing as far as digital recording. I helped almost every composer in the Los Angeles area get into computers. During the 80s, I was a certified Apple technician. I went up and took all the classes, and I introduced many, 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 you know, Tom Newman, Danny Elfman, just the list, you know, goes on and on of people. I brought in their first computer and showed them the difference between this and, you know, about $500,000 Synclavier. Anyway, and MIDI is what made that possible. So I... loved storing patches. I had synthesizers, and I toured with Oingo Boingo playing keyboards. Working with Danny and Steve Bartek, who orchestrates with Danny and mm-hmm. has been part of Oingo Boingo and Danny's team forever, he was kind of like you know, a couple years ahead of me at UCLA, and he graduated, and there was a spot open on the jazz band, and I walked in and filled the seat. He was here just a couple of weeks ago.
And
Steve was always sort of like a mentor, you know, idol of mine, so I just kind of followed his lead, and I helped him get into computers and all this other stuff. So anyway, the idea of being able to store stuff, to be able to actually have it come back the way you said it. I mean, on the Boingo tours, we were using a, I think it was a Macintosh SE.
Yeah, I remember those. I had one of those.
You know, big handle thing with fan and a drive inside. And I rigged everything. I programmed everything to route to all this because all of that stuff was played. We were playing really complex pieces. Dead Man's Party. We were playing Gray Matter. We were playing, you know, all the stuff with these intricate parts that were coming from the real synths that were used to do the recordings. And, you know, like, I got to say this, but, you know, I watch Saturday Night Live, and it's like Saturday Night Mime now. You know, the bands that go up there have a DJ in the back, and he hits a button, and it's playing audio, and they're miming to it. It's not even live anymore.
Right.
And I'm just sounding like an old fart now, but it just sort of tweaks me that they don't even bother to make the sounds happen while they're performing.
Well, what's scary is, like, for example, Rush, their last few tours, all the amps that you see or the washing machines that they have, they're just for show.
Yeah.
Everything is laptops with virtual. Everything's virtual.
Yeah.
He plays, but they're using virtual.
Well, sounds. Yeah, and they're some of the greatest players ever, and that's the whole point, is that they're really playing. But what the technology has allowed is to be able to get the sound shaped to just how you like it, and then every time you come back, it's there. Like right now, this is just on a old standby Strat. Nice, clean Strat. I'm playing a Strat. But
now, that's not your pickups. That's the Hex pickup.
That is the Hex pickup on this.
It's modeling a Strat.
Yeah, this is modeling a Strat, a nice, clean Strat.
And so, one thing you'll notice, there's no hum.
Yeah, there's no hum at all, which is another thing that I love, is that it's quiet as
because you're
be.
you're just
it's just like yeah.
And we have fluorescent lights in here. A normal Strat,
and I don't
buzzing.
Have to face north. I don't have to go south. So just by just by pressing a button, I have. Which is a sound that I used to play with Ringo to add the Leslie guitar, which is a huge part of the sound in the studio. Mm-hmm. And we are doing this live for the Tribe show that's coming up on December 4th. We have a big show, and the Honeys are performing Don't Come Easy. And Rob Bonfilio, who's been here, a great mm-hmm. guitar player, he's starting off with sort of the meaty telly playing that riff. And I join in with the Leslie guitar, and it just blooms. It's just like even our music director, Jeff Allen Ross, who's doing a great job putting the show together, he kind of looks over every time I come in on that sound. It's like, that's perfect, you know. But so that's my point, is that clean guitar, Leslie guitar. It's not just punching a, you know, you don't hear a big clunk when you put on a chorus pedal. Or
one of the things I want to point out that he's doing is it's not just the amp. It's not just the effect, like using a Leslie simulator. He's programming the actual pickup, the type of guitar.
The type of guitar.
The whole chain. It's the whole signal chain.
Which position you're in as far as your pickup selector.
And we were talking about this earlier. I had mentioned that Joni Mitchell liked this because she could actually change the tunings.
Well, you know, I use that. That's funny because one of the coolest things about this is that you can do drop tunings and all sorts of stuff without ever having to touch a key. And one of the things that I use that on is on. Which is the Give Me Love, which we're also performing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this on the Concert for George and also on the Bangladesh reissue release concert. And one of the cool things about that is I can change the tuning of the string for certain things. Now I'm getting I'm getting a minor third by going between the B and the G string rather than a major third because I've hit a button.
Right.
This is like it would be like the, and now I hit a button and it's. Because I can actually individually change the pitch of any of these strings by how I
programmed it. Real quick, just strum the guitar so they can hear the open tuning.
And then I hit the detuned one. It's this one.
That's the open strings.
And I'm not retuning. This is like, this is the...
Yeah, he's just hitting a pedal.
So that came in very handy for a lot of things, for the ELO stuff and also for George's stuff, because a lot of people will do odd tunings for slide on All Things Must Pass. There's a lot of slide stuff that's a minor chord.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing slide in a normal tuning, you're going to get... You're going to get major chords, and all I have to do is... press a button and I've got it doing the exact same thing as a minor chord.
So George did use different tunings for his slide work?
He did stuff like an orchestrator does individual lines. He will do one line at a time and then build them and it'll come out to this great business. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really hard to unravel when you listen to it. Like even with Dave Perlman, who's been here, a great, great musician who plays pedal steel and guitar. He's doing the Give Me Love stuff with me, and we're actually debating about what the harmonies are in certain parts because sometimes they're below the melody and sometimes they're above. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of funny because I helped on Brainwashed, which was the last posthumous release of George's, and there's a bunch of tracks basically that were on 2-inch multi-tracks that were in storage. And we got them out and we baked them and we transferred them into Pro Tools. And there would be dozens of slide tracks. And then we would watch videos that George had done for promos of what he had up at Friar Park, what channels he had up, and we'd count over from the on the board at Friar Park and go, okay, he had channel 6 and channel 9 and channel 11. Those are the ones he had up.
Mm-hmm.
All wow. Every track in between might have had slides on them. Marwa Blues is one of the songs. It's an instrumental, beautiful, beautiful song. And part of the challenge of doing this was actually picking which elements. And I was really, really proud that the work that I did on that with Jeff Lynne, when Danny Harrison were driving down the streets of London and he pops out of his Mini Cooper and he's got Marwa Blues blasting. He goes, this is my favorite one.
Now, did you use the VG system when you did the concert for George?
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, look... Eric Clapton came over to Jeff Lynne's house, and they were talking about it was after George had passed, and how we were going to do this, and what we were going to do. And Eric, you know, of course, is one of the every guitar player's, you know, idol. So it was one of those things like he was trying to pick songs for the set, just even talk about it, throw it out there, and you know, All Things Must Pass has all this stuff on it. And there's these, you know, long slides that are floating and going places, and Eric goes, God, you know, I don't know how we're gonna do this live, and Jeff just points at me and says, he'll do it.
That's cool. What was Clapton's reaction of all these tones that you were getting out of the guitar? Did he say anything about that?
Well, in rehearsal we're going off on a tangent here, but one of my, you know, great stories, memories was Jeff had been asked to come over, and everyone, you know, Bob Dylan and Tom Petty and all these great artists had been asked to be part of the concert, but nobody really knew how it was going to be put together. So I thought I was going over there to play maybe one song that Jeff performs as his sideman guitar player. And we come in and we go into this rehearsal hall in London, and start playing stuff. And then Eric calls something just to run it. And I go, well, I don't remember exactly what happened, but somebody said, well, who's going to do the solo? And Eric said, well, I'm kind of busy doing the words. I got to remember the words. And I said, I know it. So I did it. And then the next thing you know, he's asking the roadies to move my amps from the side of the stage next to him. And that's one of those moments where not only are you like really happy, but you're also like really scared.
Scared, yes.
It's like he's having, I mean, I was over on the other side of the grand piano, almost toward the side there. And then he said, move him there, which was like center stage next to him. And then it was like, he's such a nice guy. There's no accident as to why there's such love in his being and great musicianship. So a few days later, it was like, well, of course we have to do While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And he turns to me and says, you're going to do that so I don't have to worry about it.
That's awesome.
Of course, he took the great solo, amazing solo. And I kind of went, can we do it tomorrow? And he says, yeah, sure. So I went back to the hotel room and just woodshedded to make sure I knew every inflection. And he actually showed me a couple of things. Yeah, it's, you know, a couple of the great, you know. And so the VG, you know, I don't know if you can see, it has a display on it too that shows you names of your patches, like this is Isn't It a Pity Acoustic, and then the slide for Isn't It a Pity and the rhythm guitar. And then I have you know, different ones, and these are actually the ones from the concert that I've got in here that have the names of the songs that we did. And so there's like photograph that, you know.
Well, why don't you just go through and just play a couple of them so people, because it's really amazing how close you get to the, at least what I remember of the sound of the original recording, and it's kind of cool.
This is like just a rhythm for something the way she moves. And then, of course, that was like a... So that's the exact patch and sound that was used on the concert.
Yeah, and he's getting all the slap echo that they did in the studio on the original. I mean, he has that little...
Well, that's the other reason why it's really...
It's got that sound.
It's and, you know, here's a great thing is that I had something that I start with, and we would take vans back from the rehearsal back to, like, Kensington Street where we were staying. And... Jeff is so much a musical perfectionist. It's so inspiring. He would, like, in the van, he goes, that's pretty good. It's got a little bit too much 2K.
Yeah. He's a producer. He can tell.
2K, yeah. 2,000 kilohertz. And I go, okay. And I would go in the next day, you know, when we'd come back, and I would tweak a little. Because there's entire EQs over the whole thing after you pick your guitar, your pickups, your amp, your speaker type cabinet, your mic position, all these things. You have your effects and all this other stuff. But overall, you have EQ, which you can really dial in and store. So if in the context of the band, he wanted it to not be quite as pointy and a little warmer, he would just say something and I would change it and store it.
Yeah. Well, that's unusual because, you know, as a regular guitar amp, if you're using a Marshall, you can't dial down the 2K. It's whatever it is. I mean, you're stuck. I mean, especially
well, that's the other side. I mean, you get a little spoiled. I mean, there's pluses and minuses. You have to use it well, or it can be and the newer ones. There's a 99 now. It has a higher sample rate and all these other things. But they got rid of all the really cool, fun stuff. Like, let me see if I can find. I mean, there's normal, there's like 12 strings, or, you know,
it sounds like my Rickenbacker.
It's a Ricky 12. Yeah. It's like
them.
So, I mean, I don't have to pick up a different guitar. I just touch that, and I got a 12-string, you know, electric. But the point is that there's guitars, and then there's also odd sounds, which are...
Well, what did they lose in the new one? What are you...
They lost this. Which is like Ebo violin stuff.
I remember that violin patch when they showed it at the NAMM show. That was very cool.
Well, at the end of the show, you'll play something we did at last Christmas's Tribe concert, which was an Emerson, Lake & Palmer song. And that patch is the patch that I use on it for the melodies of Do You Believe in Father Christmas, which our great singer John Pratt did. And you have a recording of it, and you'll hear that patch. But I love to come up into a studio and set up, and you know, it's just, oh, you're going to play some guitar, but then you do stuff like this.
Sound.
That makes me want to play electric guitar.
That, now, let me ask you
and
something.
See, that has harmonic modeling. It's actually, if you listen, right. When I'm playing one string, this is a single string,
yeah.
You're getting a root and a fifth.
Yeah.
And I can do that where you get actual harmonic content that's different than just the chord I'm playing. I'm playing an A minor 7 chord.
It's yeah, right.
And I'm also, the lower strings are not just guitar strings. They're it's playing bass. So that's just showing off what the box can do, and I think they got rid of some of the harmonic modeling. They raised the sample rate and made it maybe a little bit more pristine on some of the sounds, but they lost some guitars, went away. And they did improve the nylon string on the 88, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's all a trade-off. And the other thing that's, for me, is I've invested a lot of time in these patches, and I can store them in my computer, back them up as SysX data.
Right.
And I can load in different banks. I can load in a bank for this show, for that show, store things, and, you know. But what was my point? My point was, oh, the patches are incompatible with the newer models. So all this time spent making these great sounds aren't going to work in the new ones. So you have to start from scratch. But there's a great community out there. I mean, I remember when I first got this. I don't know whether it was 2000, 1999, somewhere back there. There are people online with sites that have patches. I started with some of the stuff that I downloaded and loaded in from the computer over SysX, and boom, I've got something that I tweak and I make better, and it sounds really good. So maybe I should stop talking. You should play a piece of music.
Before I go into another piece from Ruby, real quick, do you use the newer ones or you just use the VG8?
I've used VG88s. Danny Elfman, who I work with, has a couple of them that he uses for ideas and recording and things like that. And they're great. I mean, there's something to be said for when you're, you know, going to go do a blues show. You just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, that's the other thing, is amps kind of caught up. I have some lines. I have a line 6 amp, and they've incorporated some of the storability and flexibility of patches and amps, and they've really modeled that. And Line 6 is a great company for that, and they have them integrated in the amp. And now I've seen that Roland actually has guitars with some of this technology in the guitar, which I think is great, because then you don't have to. You can just go anywhere with a guitar and plug in, and you've got a lot of choices. But they're limited choices. There are just a few. So anyway, amps have caught up as far as programmability.
Now, let me ask you. I'm going to play another clip of Ruby in a second. But what I want to ask you now is your approach to Ruby. Because you're kind of melding world music influences and stuff, and there's a lot of different influences in the group because everybody's kind of international in the band as it is. How did that change? I mean, obviously, did it change your approach? What were you doing? Did you consciously go out for like new different sounds? Did you try to get the guitar to sound more ethnic, or did you?
The instrumentation, there's Kenny Bly on bass, and he is such a phenomenal bass player. Where he's melodic, he's rhythmic. So there's a way of working this contrapuntally, and we have Polyatopia Ferber on hand drums and Dumbek and things. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of energy. And what Sharon had asked me for was she wanted me to add the David Gilmour.
Oh, okay.
And David Gilmour is obviously a great influence, a great guitar player for Pink Floyd. So that gave me the freedom to actually, you know, kind of rock it up a little bit. And the real challenge for something like this, and our oud player, Haig, who is one of those musicians who just his name is all his first name, like Sting, you just have to say Haig. He's literally the world-class oud player. He is so great. And unfortunately, he's passed on to the other world now. But he said a great compliment, which was, he didn't think it was going to work to do the rock stuff with this stuff, but we had such a good dynamic where we could bring the dynamics down and leave space for these wonderful instruments.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip. This is from Glow, which shows you tearing it up. But I'm going to do right after that clip real quick because we're almost out of time. I'm going to play our little special thing. And this is this. I think it is Haig is on this because it says Haig on the title. And what this is these are...
You're going to play the new piece now, or are you going to play...
Right after it.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll talk real quick because we're almost out of time. But what I wanted to explain is this, after the Glow clip, which you'll see, he's screaming on the lead, this is a rough mix of some of the basic tracks with some of the strings. So you're hearing something that's like...
If this is a work in progress, that's a basic track that the band has recorded, and I added some orchestration to.
Right. So I just wanted to mention that. But it's... all right, let me play Glow, and then I'll play the other piece. great. I love those strings.
That's it gets bigger and bigger as it crescendos toward the end. So that actually there's a couple parts in there that is the VG, sort of the Ebo violin thing that I used. I doubled with French horns.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another section in there where there's an alto flute doubling a sound that I do on the VG. So you get these colors that you're not sure what they are quite. That break where it's that long, you know, mm-hmm. fall away section. And I love that. I love when the ear is kind of like, I'm not really sure
it's
what that is.
It's kind of this, but it's
like
not
a French horn, but it's not. And so that has to do with blending textures, and the VG lets you do that.
Now, I presume that the acoustic guitar is where you're...
Those are acoustics, yeah. That's Sharon and myself playing acoustics on the basic track.
And sounds great. I presume you're using the Petty... Martin?
I can't remember which one it was.
Which he brought session. The last time he was on the
but
show,
our,
beautiful
our,
guitar.
Our woodwind player, Suren Baronian, he plays duduk, and he plays clarinet, and he plays all these unusual sort of Middle Eastern woodwind instruments. Mm-hmm. When we perform live, it's just spellbinding the colors that he gets. So... that's kind of that color that you hear there in that one bridge where there's like the flute doubling the guitar lines.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful.
So let's talk about the show that's coming up, which is the Peace, Love, and Understanding show on December 4th at CSUN, and it's the Tribe, and we got some great people performing with us. We got Carney Wilson from Wilson Phillips, and Peter Asher, who I mentioned a couple of times, is somebody I've worked with for years, and I love him. He's coming in. And Mary Wilson of the Supremes.
Yes.
And Rosemary Butler mm-hmm. from Jackson Brown and other things.
She's and Bertha. She was the bass player for Bertha.
You're still on that, right?
I got to get her to play bass. She promised me she'll play bass.
And does she want to be Marcella Detroit or Marcy Leave It?
Marcella
Detroit is coming in and doing some great songs. Yeah. And she actually sang on some of the Supreme stuff that we're doing, this medley. And, she sounded so
great
good.
Great range. And she co-wrote Lay Down
So
cool.
And a bunch of people have been on the show. Dave Perlman.
Dave Perlman has been on.
Rob Mofilio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And...
So it's a lot of great songs that are that talk about peace and love and understanding, and you're just going to be amazed at how many great songs there are, and it's a great catalog with these great performers.
It's a lot of mixed genres. I mean, we go from R&B and soul to
Well, one
Beatles.
Of the singers you have a clip of, or we'll play the song to go out with, which is the one. Do we have time to play it on the way
out? Yeah, go ahead and set this up, because this is actually The Tribe, right?
This is a clip of The Tribe. This is a recording of last Christmas.
Last year's Christmas show, and we're back at CSUN, same place.
Yeah, we were. And John Pratt is doing an Emerson, Lake, and Palmer song. And it's
Greg Lake. Yeah.
And the synth that you heard, because I remember asking about this, the synth part that would be Emerson would be doing is you.
Is me on the VG. And the funny thing is that I was driving home with John from a rehearsal the other day, and I said, I love that. That came out so great. And he goes, yeah, thanks for, doing that and recording it. And he goes, yeah, and Dave played such a great job on that line. And I go, that's me. He wasn't even aware that it was me. I just busted up. I said, yeah, well.
Dave is busting up right now.
We had timpani. And, he was doing other stuff on the slide. He's back there doing all these
I remember I'm creating that in the studio, when you guys were rehearsing it. Because it was like, how are we going to recreate this thing to be a live situation?
Well, The Tribe is really
a
great Kevin Wax. It's his brainstorm, and he got these great musicians together, and Kevin plays drums, and he gets these ideas of these great shows, and we do them for charity, and we've done some great things for the City of Hope, for the Mr. Holland's Opus, which provides music instruments to kids and
right.
all sorts of stuff.
This one's the LA Fire Department toys.
This is
Spark of Love,
and then there's another
toy drive,
the Byrne Foundation,
Alyssa Ann Ruth.
Byrne Foundation.
Byrne Foundation.
Real quick, give them the information where they can get the tickets. And also, I have it on the All About Guitar site, the information, too, and the flyer, so you can check it out.
Is it www.thetribeband.com?
No, not at all. We do phone numbers.
This is Lori, who is our singer
and
organizer.
And behind the scenes, everything.
And she's introduced me to so many musicians, like yourself,
My
on the
pleasure.
Show. Real quick, while she's... Oh, you have the information? Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So the main sponsor for our shows is the Get Together Foundation. And so we have tickets available by calling 818-727-7884. Or you can go directly to the CSUN box office, VPAC box office. And that is 818-677-3000. And you have to do that by phone or walk up, or you can find us on Ticketmaster.
Yeah, so it's on Ticketmaster. No, that's, yeah. So, and also, if you don't, besides the show, you have it here now, but
and
it's
check,
also posted.
Jeff's got postings on the Facebook page, and, you know, my, so yeah. All the information's there, too.
So, yeah, there's
and
plenty.
Us.
Real quick, I want to thank you for coming on, but when is this new stuff coming out?
Ruby Ate the Fig, the live album, is out now. There's also an EP on the website, and we're working on this new stuff that you just played.
Right. So when's
sneak
that?
Sneak peek.
The sneak peek. When will that be?
I think we're shooting for spring because we're going to do some shows in the springtime.
Okay. So, well, then I'm looking forward to you to come back and show me.
That was
I want to hear now that we've heard the preview. I want to hear the final mix.
Oh, we got some great
now.
Tracks. We
yeah,
we've
this sounds
some
really
great
good
stuff.
Okay, everybody, thank you again. It's a,
oh,
it's
sure,
always
Jeff.
A pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
There's
Lord.
Never enough time thank to you. Go into all the details.
Well, it just means
that's
you have to come back. I'm just going to go down the line and do one guitar at a time. No, I'm just kidding. But no, right. Thanks for bringing us down. And then everybody have a great week. Here is, yes, have a happy Thanksgiving. And this is Do You Believe in Father Christmas? Have a good night, everybody.
Peace on earth. Hallelujah, Noel, be in heaven.